And we eat because we like to eat. Right? Well, there's more to it than that, right? We eat together because it shows our unity and our oneness. Lutherans are called the potluck people. So we bring our covered dishes and our food items and we share them together. Think back to Genesis 18 when those three visitors met with Abraham. We're told Abraham ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf and gave it to a servant, who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. Father Abraham shared a meal with those three visitors. Abraham, we could say, was busy about greeting, meeting, and eating those visitors who came to him. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the Holy Christian Church was formed, in Acts chapter 2, we're told about 3,000 people were added to the number of believers that day. They spent their time learning the apostles' teaching, sharing what they had, breaking bread, and praying together. We gather around meals today because God's people have gathered around meals for thousands of years. Just as Father Abraham shared a meal with those three visitors, and those first century Christians broke bread and ate together, so we break bread and eat together. We have our potlucks and our dinners. That breaking of bread is more than just nourishment, but it's an expression of our oneness, our unity, and our love for one another. In the church, we sum up that love and unity with one word: fellowship. Fellowship is truly a reason for us to give thanks. During the life of Moses, in Leviticus chapter 1, the Lord gave the people instructions of how to have fellowship with him. They were to bring a fellowship offering. The Lord says, if his offering is of the flocks, of the sheep, or of the herds, as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord. And the priests, Aaron's sons, shall sprinkle its blood all around on the altar. And he shall cut it into its pieces with its head and its fat. And the priest shall lay them in order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. But he shall wash the entrails and the legs with water. Then the priest shall bring it all and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. What does this strange and confusing fellowship law really mean? We'll talk about that, but first, let's review for ourselves the three types of law that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. He gave the moral law, which is summarized in the Ten Commandments. And the moral law is for all people who live on the earth. He gave the civil law, which instructed the Israelites how they were to interact with one another the day-to-day laws that they were to follow as God's people, and even how they were to conduct themselves amongst foreigners or immigrants. He also gave the ceremonial law. And the ceremonial law governed the what, the when, the why, and the how of the worship life of the Israelites. Even though the moral law is for all people of all time, summarized in the Ten Commandments, the civil law and the ceremonial law was specifically for the Israelites until the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. Since we are New Testament Christians who live after the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are not bound by the civil or ceremonial laws. Imagine going into your backyard, slaughtering a sheep or a goat, and then burning it up to the heavens as a sweet aroma to the Lord. That sweet aroma may not be so sweet to your neighbors. And that sacrifice that you made may cause you to pay a hefty fine to the authorities. No, we're not bound by those ceremonial laws. We no longer offer bulls and goats on the altar to the Lord. What was the Lord teaching, however, His people through that fellowship offering? At first glance, this sacrifice may seem strange and confusing. But as God's New Testament people, we use the New Testament scriptures to help us untangle and decipher the Old Testament text that may be difficult for us to understand. Although we're far removed from this fellowship offering that was instituted through Moses and Aaron, with the eyes of faith, we can peer back into that Old Testament scripture and see more than just a conglomeration of laws and rituals. But even in this fellowship offering, we can see Jesus in the Old Testament giving us fellowship with God. The Israelites, of course, were God's chosen people. He gave Moses those two tablets of the testimony, which held the Ten Commandments. Even though the Israelites had these Ten Commandments, they broke them time and time again. Those Israelites had sinful hearts. And so even though the command was, you shall have no other gods, many of them bowed down to false gods and worshipped idols. Even though the commandment said, thou shalt not steal, some of those Israelites took things that did not belong to them. And the Old Testament text records for us how some of those Israelites even did work on God's holy day, the Sabbath, which was to be a day of rest. With this fellowship offering, God was teaching His people that for sinners to have any fellowship with a holy and sinless God, a sacrifice must be made. blood must be shed. Just think of how many fellowship offerings the Israelites must have brought over the centuries. How many times they must have woken up to the smell of burning animal flesh on the altar that was burning up as a sweet aroma to the Lord. How many times must they have seen an animal's blood shed right in front of their eyes without the shedding of blood? Without a sacrifice, there is no fellowship with God. As God's New Testament people, we see Jesus in this fellowship offering. Because the Lamb of God sacrificed Himself as an offering on behalf of the world. Jesus' blood was shed to take your sins away so that you might be holy and righteous in the sight of God. The only reason why God hears your prayers is because Jesus has made it possible. Through His sacrifice, now your prayers reach to the heavens. You'll notice that we're not too unlike the Israelites. We too have the Ten Commandments, and yet we break them time and time again. We are to repent of our sins. Turn away from those sins that we commit over and over again. Turn to the Lord for forgiveness. Call upon Him for mercy and freedom from the slavery of sin. Jesus, the sinless Son of God, who never sinned once, never worshipped a false god, never took anything that did not belong to Him, He laid down His life on the tree of the cross. By the power of God, He was raised on the third day. And that empty tomb signifies to you and me God is pleased with Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. Jesus is our fellowship offering. Jesus makes it possible for us to be at one with God. Everything is about Jesus, who opened heaven's gates for you and me. Jesus does not leave us in this world as orphans. He loves us too much. He gives us His Word so that we might constantly stay in communion and fellowship with Him. He gives us holy baptism so that as new children are brought into the world, they might be washed clean and brought into fellowship with Him. He gives us that holy supper that we might meet, greet and eat together even now in the church. Yes, Lutherans may be known as the potluck people. Yes, we may just meet, greet and eat. But one thing about Lutherans, you'll notice that our entire worship is designed around forgiveness and repentance. Each week when we gather, we repent of our sins because we know we are standing on holy ground, just as the Lord told Moses. Each week we hear the Lord tell us that our sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done. Each week we gather and we talk about that place where God will soon take us, which is heaven. A place far different than this world. There are no sicknesses or diseases in heaven. In heaven, everything is perfect. So continue to greet, meet, and eat, regardless of what others may think about it. Abraham did the same thing. That first century church did the same thing. We thank God that we are able to greet, meet, and eat even now. And once we reach our heavenly home, guess what? We will continue to greet, meet, and eat. We'll be united with King David, Father Abraham, and Moses. We will greet them and meet them. And Jesus tells us that in heaven, he will prepare a feast for all his people. Yes, heaven is our home. In the Old Testament, we can see Jesus giving us fellowship with God. Let that encourage you throughout the week. Amen.